This means stop.
This means go.
Got it?
Let's go! Now make believe that you're a monster and you're really mean. You're jumping up and down. You're making monster noises and you're growling real loud. And you're scaring everyone in town. Yeah, you're being really scary and you're having a ball. And then you hear this sound. Don't move. I'm watching you. Wait for the whistle. Dance! Hey, wait. Go!
Now make believe that you're a buddy and you're flying high. Way up off the ground. Your wings are really flapping and you're going real good and you're never ever coming down. You're feeling just as happy as a buddy can feel. And then you hear the sound! Don't flap a wing! Don't move!
That's a group called Scribble Monster out of Chicago. As you could probably tell, they tend to play music for children. And two of their members, Scribble Jim and Scribble Jane, are going to be in Decatur on Saturday for an event called Kids Rock, put on by Macon Resources. And we'll be hearing more about that in just a moment. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, I'm Kevin Kelly. In fact, we'll be talking with Scribble Jim, as well as the public relations director for Macon Resources. Coming up a little later, I will be talking with, I think, three of the members of Circus Oz, who are out of Australia, and they're coming to the Krannert Center in Urbana for performances tomorrow and Saturday. And they're an interesting group because they sort of double as musicians and performers, at least some of them do. And we'll be hearing all about how that works and hear one of their tunes played live in our studio. That's coming up on the second portion of Live and Local. But first, got on the phone with me from Decatur, Amy Towdy, who is the Director of Public Relations and Development for Macon Resources, who are putting on Kids Rock. It runs from 9:30 Saturday morning until noon and includes a performance by Scribble Jane and Scribble Jim. Amy, thanks for joining us on Live and Local.
Thanks for having me.
What is Macon Resources?
Well, we are a nonprofit that serves people in Macon County. We provide services to children and adults with disabilities.
What kind of services?
It's a wide range. We have a couple of children's programs, an after-school program for students who are in the special education, and then we also have a day program for adults, so they come to our facility and learn different life skills to make them more independent and by living on their own. We have work programs, and we help people get jobs out in the community, as well as some residential services. So they live in homes just like you and I would, but there's some staff there to help them with daily activities. And then our Bright Start program doesn't serve people with just disabilities. It serves children 0 to 5, and it is a home visiting program. So our parent educators are providing parents with the tools they need to help build their child's future. And that is what Kids Rock, the benefits from this event, is going to support.
For Bright Start.
Yes.
Parents as Teachers Affiliate. What is that?
It is a national organization which we are affiliated with, so we follow their curriculum. And when we are in parents' homes and use their different teaching tools that they use to make sure that the child is developing and certain milestones they should be doing throughout growing up.
How did you get involved with Macon Resources? Any particular contact or interest that drove you to this organization?
Well, actually, it's funny that you asked that. My sister grew up having a disability, so it was near and dear to my heart.
So this event on Saturday, Kids Rock, I referred to it as annual. Was that accurate?
It is. This is our fourth year that we've done this, and I think this one is going to be our best one yet.
What have the other ones been like, and what will make this one the best?
Well, we try to find different children's musicians, and Chicago has a wealth of them, so we try to find different ones each year, and we just think Scribble Jim and Scribble Jane are they're very creative, high energy for the whole family, audience participation. They've gotten great reviews, so that's why we think this is going to be the funnest one so far.
So the activities that go, I guess the activities overall start at 9:30 on Saturday. The concerts part starts 10:30, goes for about 45 minutes. So what are some of the activities that kids can
participate? Well, we've got face painting by the zoo lady. So she transforms the kids into little animals with face paint. The Children's Museum of Illinois here in Decatur will come with a couple of their activities. We've got Scoville Mobile Zoo. They'll bring some of the animals. Papa Murphy's Pizza is going to be here, so the kids can make their own little mini Murph pizza to take home. The kids can decorate their own cupcake. We have an art project and lots of other vendors and some of our sponsors that will be doing different activities at their spaces as well.
And I assume this is open to kids of all kinds. You don't have to have a disability to participate.
Right. It is open to the general public. Probably ages 10 to 12 and under they'll have the most fun at the event.
It's called Kids Rock. Starts at 9:30 on Saturday. Scribble Monster come in to give a short concert, of course, for the whole family, starting at 10:30, and everything wraps up at noon. It's at Macon Resources, located at 2121 Hubbard Avenue in Decatur, and I'll be talking in just a few moments with Scribble Jim, and this portion I've been talking with the Director of Public Relations and Development for Macon Resources, Amy Towdy, and I appreciate your telling me about this event because I wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah, we're trying to get the word out and hope that a lot of people will come and enjoy the fun day that we have planned.
And how do people get tickets, by the way?
They can call us at 875-1910, and we can, they can purchase tickets over the phone. All children 3 and under are free. We have an advance ticket for 4 years and up for $5. We do have a group ticket that's $20 for 5 people, and that includes all the activities at the event. And then they will be $6 at the door. So we'll be selling our advance tickets until 4:30 on Friday.
So a little cheaper if you get them ahead of time.
Correct.
Right, that number again, 217, it was 875-1910?
Correct.
In the 217 area. Amy, thanks for letting us know about this here on Live and Local.
Thank you so much.
And our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Danville Symphony Orchestra, presenting Titans, Mahler's Symphony No. 1, and Beethoven's Violin Concerto with special guest Clara Jumi Kong this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Danville High School Auditorium. More information is available from the Symphony office at 443-5300. Coming up, a conversation with Scribble Jim of Scribble Monster. Here he's featured in a song of theirs called I Really Like You, Baby.
It's no surprise, the smile in your eyes has totally won me over, and I really like looking at you. Who do I see, your mommy or me? Not that it matters, baby, I really like seeing you. Fingers and toes are totally awesome, you know.
could hold you forever, baby. I really like holding you. I know you won't always hold on to me. That's why I love these moments when it's you and I. Should there be doubt, you're bound to find out I undeniably love you. Loving you. And when I see the way you love me, it makes me so happy, baby. I really like being happy with you. With you. With you. I really like you.
It's a song called I Really Like You, Baby, by Scribble Monster, who are, well, it's a little hard to describe exactly what Scribble Monster is. It's a band. It's also a group of people, and it also is a website that has all kinds of activities and games and coloring things for kids and much more than that. Scribble Monster started by a fellow named James Daig. And as Scribble Jim, he is going to be coming with Scribble Jane, as we heard a bit ago, with for a show called, as part of a show called Kids Rock on Saturday at Macon Resources in Decatur. And they'll do a concert starting about 10:30 on Saturday morning. Scribble Jim is with me on the line from Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
That's my pleasure.
So a little background on Scribble Monster. How did James Daig get involved in this?
Well, you know, Scribble Monster actually started as a series of children's books, and they are storybooks that have incomplete line drawings as the illustrations, with the thought being that a child would then complete the illustrations any way that they like. So it's kind of different than, say, like a coloring book, because there's really no lines to stay in, which can confuse kids sometimes if they're not sure what to do with it. But the thought is that regardless of where a child is age-wise or developmentally, when they complete the picture any way they like to, it's still going to be something that's recognizable, but yet something that's totally unique to them and where they're at that stage. And actually that had started because I was working with kids 3 and younger, and when I would try to get them to just even simply draw at the table with me, I would have them tell me, oh, I can't draw, I'm not good enough, or here, you do it for me. And I was just like, you're 2. What do you mean you can't draw? So I just kind of created these scribble characters, which, like I said, were just real simple, not a whole lot to them drawings, but it got them going again. And to me, that was the important thing, is I just wanted to see them doing something.
And when you say you were working with kids, in what capacity at that point?
It was actually at a nursery preschool. So my wife at the time was working with me there too. And so for many years, like a ridiculous amount of years, probably 15 years, she said, oh, you know, we really should do something with those scribble characters. We should do something with those scribble characters. You should put them in a book. And so, you know, we finally got around to it. And that was about 13 years ago now. And then from that, I had played in several bands. And so music just kind of seemed like a natural progression where I went, well, you know, what if we did something with music? And it just seemed to make sense to somehow tie it into the books, which had come first. And then the music kind of just took on a life of its own, and we hadn't really given any thought to live performances, and yet that's become a huge part of, well, pretty much what Scribble Monster is now, is our music and our live performances. But pretty much everything that we do, the thought behind what we do is that we want to give kids opportunities to be creative in the arts, but kind of present it in an open-ended way like the books, where there really is no right or wrong way to participate, and yet, just there's no fear of, oh, am I going to do this wrong, or, you know, am I going to do it the right way, and just to hopefully get kids drawing and singing and dancing and sharing ideas and doing these things before they can even think about saying, oh, hey, I can't do that.
So you said you played in bands at various times. Is your educational background in education?
You know, I actually started with education, and surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, I was really kind of steered away from it by a lot of people, including my instructors at the time, because they just thought, well, you know, you're a young man, you can't be, you know, getting into, because I was going for preschool, to be a preschool educator, and early education, it was like, well, you can't do that. Or I think maybe things have changed a bit from the time I was going to school then, but I actually changed my major to marketing, and worked in marketing research for a while, and I wish if I could go back and do everything over again, I think I would have just stuck with the early childhood. But it's really nice now because, you know, I feel that I am very fortunate. I really enjoy calling what I do work because pretty much my job is to, you know, play with kids and help empower kids into going and learning how to make their own fun, which is pretty great to be able to call that work.
I'm curious about something you said. Why would they have said you can't do that as a man?
You know, I think for whatever reason at the time, well, for example, even when I was in classes, I would be in class and, you know, I would be in class with 30 other females. I would be the only male. And for whatever reason, I really did get a lot of resistance, not only from school, but also just from friends and, you know, people would just be like, well, you know, what are you doing? For whatever reason, it just seemed very frowned upon that, you know, that wasn't a man's work. That was a woman's work.
Wow.
Well, like I said, I think that the thought has kind of changed a bit on that.
I hope so.
I would hope so, anyway.
I hope so, yeah. So the whole Scribble Monster band, the way it's the music I led in with doesn't seem to exactly fit the various descriptions that are generally used regarding Scribble Monster. An edgy band, sort of melodic poppy rock is what one of the reviews called it. Punk has been used at various times to describe your music. What's that musical background that you brought to this, and what's your thinking in creating the music you do?
Well, personally, I really like a lot of different music, although generally what I do like is rock or pop music. And, you know, I like diversity and just even what I listen to. I like to listen to a lot of different kinds of music. And so I know that confuses people sometimes because we play some really poppy stuff. We play some really rocky stuff. I like guitars. I like a big guitar sound. And, you know, my thought was, you know, that there's not necessarily anything wrong with having big guitars and kids, that the two can actually mix. And but yeah, sometimes I think we kind of confuse people because sometimes we're loud and sometimes we have nice songs like Really Like You Baby and they go, wait, this is the same band? And yeah, it is, but that's okay. You know, we all like different things and that's okay. And there's some songs that, you know, people say, oh, I really like, you know, like I Really Like You Baby, they love that song. And then there's other people who will like some of our louder songs, like Chocolate Milk, and they'll say, oh, you know, I really love, you know, Chocolate Milk. And then there's people who like both, which are like me, too, but it's interesting that sometimes people want it to be one way or the other.
Chocolate
but,
Milk.
But I love guitar, so our music is really, for the most part, it's, you know, guitar-based pop.
And Chocolate Milk being your kids' drinking song.
Right. It is we bill it as the world's only drinking song for kids, which we have not heard otherwise yet.
You haven't had that disputed.
No.
I know you've talked about this a lot, both in print and otherwise, but somebody early on described your debut album as Sesame Street on steroids. Apparently that was a bit of a surprise to you that you'd have anybody to associate with you with Sesame Street, but you come around to that description yourself. And now you have a record that actually sort of pays tribute to Sesame Street. Talk about your relationship with Sesame Street.
Well, you know, as a kid, I grew up with Sesame Street. That was my show. And actually, even into high school and even in college, I still would be playing my Sesame Street records. And I just loved those. I loved the songs. There were so many great songs from my childhood that I still was like, oh, I love these songs. So, you know, I guess that when I first heard the description of Sesame Street on steroids, I thought, you know, what are they talking about? Because to me, in my mind, it's like we're doing something completely different. But you're right, the more I thought about it, I go, well, you know, that probably is a pretty apt description because we were doing a lot of the things, I think, that those early Sesame Street songs were doing, but we just kind of did it with a more ramped up kind of rock band sound. And so our Look Both Ways CD is kind of our tribute to those Sesame Street songs. And I basically just went back to my Sesame Street records and I picked out some of my favorite classic Sesame Street songs, and we just kind of took them as if they were our own and gave them the Scribble Monster treatment. So now they sound very much like Scribble Monster songs.
So Scribble Monster on record is one thing. Scribble Monster in a live show, such as you're going to be doing on Saturday, where, in fact, in this case, it's going to be just you and Scribble Jane, is a mix of music and other things.
Yeah, I tend to, you know, it's interesting. I think of our recording career and our live career as two completely different things. And I know that can confuse people sometimes too. Because to me, a lot of times what makes a good recording that you're going to want to listen to over and over and over again doesn't necessarily become something that's fun to play with in a live situation. And at the same time, some of the things that we do in a live situation aren't necessarily something that you would want to listen to over and over again. So with our live show, a lot of our songs are really almost like games. And we have a lot of songs that we play a lot live and have, you know, for several years, but we've never even really put them in a recorded format because I'm not really sure how you would even put it in a format, because again, they're more games even than songs. But you know, we try to have the kids, you know, to me it's not a very fun live experience to just have a bunch of kids sitting and watching us as we're playing. So to me, we really try to include the kids in any way that we can and involve them in the fun. So you know, we might have a song where they're just going to be singing along with us. We have a lot of songs that are dances where we'll teach them a dance that we'll do with the song. A lot of the songs, they'll help us choose the direction of the song or even help us come up with words for some of the songs. So, like I said, a lot of them are more open-ended, I guess, in their structure.
On one of your press kits, you actually say of course you've heard of Scribble Monster. I assume addressing people like me who maybe hadn't heard of Scribble Monster before, and or at least thought they hadn't, but I gather that means that you're around and people just may not know who they're listening to. Can you give us some examples?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what it is you're quoting. I'm confused by that one. But I don't know. You know, we have been very fortunate over the years that, you know, we have a really dedicated fan base, and we've been lucky to have a lot of support and have had, you know, via satellite radio, which is great. It's really a great time for kids' music right now because with SiriusXM, they have a channel called Kids Place Live where, you know, they play a tons of kids' music, and that was just great for us because it gave us a national audience that we didn't have prior to the satellite radio. And so it's given us a lot of opportunities to, you know, reach out all across the country to people and have people get to know us, not just in the Chicago area. But really it is an exciting time in kids' music because it really doesn't matter what genre of music you're really into, chances are you're going to be able to find a band that's making music for families or kids in that genre right now. And it's really just been over, I would say, the last 5 or 10 years that it's really grown quite a bit. And I think that there was always kind of a fear of kids' music where, you know, parents would be, oh, I don't want to listen to, you know, Barney's the one that always people always bring up and say, oh, I don't want to have to listen to Barney over and over and over again. But that being said, it's interesting that at this point, I really think that there is something to be said for the classics. And while, you know, parents might go crazy listening to Barney, there is a reason why, you know, Barney's been on as long as he has and why he does appeal to kids. And I think that sometimes we kind of lose sight of that. Now we're kind of going too far the other way where, you know, there isn't anything wrong with things that are made for kids and just for kids, because I think that, you know, there's a reason why a lot of those classic kid songs have the kind of longevity that they do. There is something that appeals to kids.
James Daig is Scribble Jim of Scribble Monster. He is coming with Scribble Jane of Scribble Monster to Decatur on Saturday, part of an event that's called Kids Rock, sponsored by Macon Resources and benefiting their Bright Start program. The event will start at 9:30, and Scribble Jim and Jane will come on about 10:30. And everything wraps up by noon. Macon Resources, located at 2121 Hubbard Avenue in Decatur. You can get more information on that organization, maconresources.org. And you can get more information on Scribble Monster by going either to scribblemonster.com or scribblebooks.com. And thanks, Jim, very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Well, thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Here's a tune called The Song of Life, featuring Scribble Jim.
Every time that I play life, I choose you to be my wife. We ride around in a plastic car. Tiny pegs are all we are. It doesn't matter what job I find. You're always there, you're still my bride. Sometimes I teach, sometimes I write. A doctor, lawyer, it's all alright, 'cause I love you, and I love life. We'll buy a house and have some kids. No more than four or they won't fit. Our girls are pink, the boys are blue. Our little girl looks just like you. We might be broke or might be rolling in dough. Where this road leads, I don't know. It's all a part of playing the game. I wouldn't have it any other way, 'cause I love you, and I love life. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
And I love life. And on the day of reckoning, I'll spin the wheel, but everything, it doesn't matter if I win or lose, I always win when I'm with you, 'cause I love you, and I love life, oh yeah, how I love you, and I love life.
Scribble Monster featuring Scribble Jim in a song called The Song of Life. They'll be at Macon Resources in Decatur on Saturday as part of a show called Kids Rock that starts at 9:30, runs till about noon. Stay tuned next on Live and Local for a conversation with three members of Circus Oz who are coming to the Krannert Center in Urbana for shows Friday night and Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. And interesting thing about these particular members is they are both musicians and performers in the circus. We'll hear how that all works coming up very shortly. They'll also play some live music for us in the studio. Support for WYLL today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page.
Thank you.
It's a little piece called The Baker Rag from a recording of one of the previous shows by Circus Oz, who are coming to the Krannert Center in Urbana for performances this weekend. And they have it's a pretty small company. And one of the things I want to know from the three folks who are in the studio with me right now from the company, who all happen to be both musicians and acrobatic performers in the show, or some sort of performers in the show besides musicians, is whether that's true of all the company and the people I'll ask that of, or in fact the musical director, who's Carl Polke, if I'm saying your name
that's
right.
Correct, yeah.
And the other two members with me, Beck Matthews and Anya Reynolds. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm looking forward to seeing the show, by the way. I'll be there tomorrow night.
Great.
Oh, cool.
And it sounds like a blast from, and looks like a blast from what I've been able to see on websites and so on. So how many people in the company altogether that people will see on stage?
Well, there's the company's made up of 13 to 14 performers who you'll see on stage, plus the technicians, some of the technicians, the riggers will, you know, be running around. Yeah. And the band is live with three-piece. We're at the back there. We see us all, and we all do stuff.
And I want to clarify that for those who don't speak Australian, that was 13 or 14.
Correct.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, with an N at the end. It's a pretty small company. Oh, I think you answered my other question then. So there's just the three of you who are doing both music and other kinds of performing.
That's correct. We all part of the gig in Circus Oz is multi-skilling. When you become part of the company as a performer, as a musician, then you're one of the highlights is being able to, you know, explore the other aspects of being
clown
a performer.
Around.
Yeah, being a bit of a clown at different times. Beck does a little number, which I'll let her tell you about it.
I do an aerial drumming piece. So our rigger Chad has built me a rig that we've got drums in that I get swung around in, and the acrobats kind of dodge and flip underneath that. So that's fun.
So I sort of misrepresented you somewhat. You all aren't necessarily acrobats yourself.
We're not.
Yeah, no. Definitely not.
But okay. We do have acrobats that play instruments in the show.
So is that right?
We're the core band, but at some point everyone will play something. Some people come already with that skill. Others, we've taught them enough to get by and play a piece in the show.
So that raises the question, what does one have to do to get in Circus Oz? Which I guess, by the way, is what officially the National Circus of Australia.
Yeah, I reckon we are.
Something you reckon.
Yeah, I reckon.
But known elsewhere in Circus Oz. Do you have your choice of auditioning as a musician and then you learn some other things, or auditioning as an acrobat and you learn some music, or how does that go?
It depends. These days there's basically, like I said, we're a band of three at the back there. And if you're auditioning as a band member, then you need to know how to play music. And from there you can, explore other options. The acrobats are auditioned, or the other performers are auditioned on whatever skills are required or whatever their particular expertise is. And if they have musical skills as well, that's fantastic. If they don't, then we'll teach it to them.
They'll learn enough to do something that is often funny, I gather. This is a show that both adults and kids will enjoy, not only for the death-defying acrobatics, as is often said about circuses, but also because there's a lot of humor that goes on.
Yeah, there is a lot of humor. I mean, one of the director described it, well, touring director Ed described it once as a bunch of adults having fun. So it doesn't actually pander in the way of a lot of kids shows to a specific age group. It is, we all sort of get together. It is an ensemble piece, as in the whole show is worked up from the ground up in the rehearsal between the whole lot of us. And we just, a lot of the time we try and make each other laugh. And, you know, if you can do that, then it's a pretty good chance that other people are going to laugh as well.
I think I read one of the descriptions somewhere of this particular touring show that it's sort of a tribute to vaudeville, or at least there's some vaudevillian antics that are deliberately involved.
I reckon that one thing that's quite characteristic of circus, and particularly circus music, is you find yourself marking, well, Beck in particular, as the drummer and percussionist, marking things a lot, as in accenting often comic things, you know, with funny sounds or cymbal crashes or whatever. And the acrobats tend to be really good at that on musical instruments as well, because they know that sort of language from doing their acts. And so we have one fellow acrobat in particular who plays trombone and, you know, probably wouldn't be able to read any trombone music, but can use it to accent and act just perfectly. And it's incredibly comic and funny. So they sort of, I think a lot of the acrobats bring their great performance skills, like that's sort of how they approach musical instruments, which really suits the show.
So I guess the vaudevillian part would be bad joke, but don't bump.
Far more sophisticated. Yeah.
I guess there's a few acts that I mean, I guess the cigar box act could be seen as living in
pretty
in
old
that,
school.
Definitely some as Anya said.
Look, there's
old
definitely an aspect of that. However, we also try and do a more serious bits and pieces as well. The whole show's not just pie in the face, as much as I personally would like it to be a pie in the face. No, we try and cover a large gamut of musical styles as much as anything else. But, you know, as musical director, I always, you know, try and put in as much variety as possible.
Well, I do want to address that in a moment, but I want to go back to the cigar box.
So cigar boxes is a juggling or manipulation act. So he starts off with they're basically cigar, but they're wooden boxes, look like cigar boxes, or look like bricks in this show, actually. And he's just juggling them, throwing around. And then when you thought that was impressive enough, he ups it to about 10 of them. But it's a really old circus.
It's a Chinese, traditional Chinese act, originally.
And it's we should say that this is an animal-free circus.
Yes, correct.
Sure is.
Which makes it easier to tour, I'm sure.
Yeah.
A whole lot less messy.
Maybe animals would be easier to control.
Oh, you think so?
Easier to feed, yeah.
With all the dietary requirements.
Maybe we'll see as this interview progresses whether that's really true or not. Maybe I wish I had an elephant. So musical styles, I opened this segment with this thing that is clearly a rag, a ragtime kind of piece. And you guys weren't involved in playing that because that was with a previous musical group.
That's correct, yeah.
But does the music come first and then the acts? Or do the acts come and then you write music to accompany particular acts?
Age old question. Yeah. Yeah, it is both. When these shows are generated, we have about a 6 to 8 week rehearsal period back home in Port Melbourne. And in the first couple of weeks, we sit in our room and, you know, more or less, we start jamming ideas. People bring ideas in for bits of music that we can work on. And we'll bring something in. Beck will bring something in, or we'll just play together as a little group. We're all multi-instrumentalists. I also play guitar, and Anya plays keyboards, and Beck's got vibraphone and stuff. So we've got a lot of different combinations that can be used for different sort of timbres and different feels. And basically, we come up with what I would call a grab bag of ideas that you can present to the acrobats. They've been doing the same on the floor in the meantime. They're sort of coming up with ideas for acts, learning various skills. The director, of course, has his overarching concept of how the show's going to start panning out. And then you start matching them. Sometimes it's really simple. Sometimes someone will come in and say, listen, I've got an act and I want this kind of idea for it. And, you know,
this kind of musical idea.
Yeah. And you can come up with, and quite often it'll be something, you know, in the popular vein, which is, you know, either worth copying or not.
There's one act in the show that the pole act, which is actually performed by one of our riggers, and that the music came about totally from, I wasn't in the band room, I was out on the floor with him, seeing what he did. He discussed what he sort of, the feel he wanted, you know, more like the vibe of what he wanted. And so that was that was an example of where the music and the act completely sort of evolved together. Whereas other, you know, so that's one way it can go.
So you took what he said, conveyed that to the band, and the band translated it somehow or another.
Oh, in that particular case, actually, it's just percussive. So.
Oh, you just did it.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
But that I guess that's happened before with band context.
Yeah, it's very varied. Some of the acts, there is a lot of dialogue that goes on between the performers and the music in order to try and get the thing together, because there's a lot of points where we're either holding until something occurs, and they can't the nature of the of a lot of the acrobatic skills is they can't actually listen to the music. They sort of go when they're on balance. So you're sort of watching that and then jump to the next cue and go from there. Some of them, some of the acts lend themselves more to, and as time progresses, it sort of starts keying in closer and closer together until it does become almost like, well, you know, not to be pompous, but it can be very balletic in a way. You know, there's the music plays and they go through their motions very precisely, and that's beautiful when it occurs like that. And some of them, the other joy, of course, is that some are just like constantly on the edge of your seat. You don't know when they're going to go, and when you're sort of just playing, going, ready, 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 go, go.
During the live performance.
During the live performance, yeah.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, sometimes the funnest bits of the act, the cigar box act that Beck mentioned before, is a classic one for that, because there's all these things that can go wrong. And having done that act for 3 years now, you've sort of pretty much explored most of them, and it keeps it real fresh because there'll be an unexpected situation like, right, how are we going to get ourselves out of this one? And it could be a musical answer, or it could be someone on stage kind of gives an option, and then you cue into that. And you know, the more you work together as an ensemble, I think the more you sort of try and get on people's wavelength. And sometimes you can discover some real gold that ends up being incorporated into the act. So there is an element of you know, improvisation that can happen, and that kind of keeps it fresh. It's good fun.
Well, so it's fair to say that it's at some level the show does change from performance to performance.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But hopefully not so much that anybody falls off whatever they don't want to fall off of, or that you guys get completely tripped up musically.
No, we don't get completely tripped up musically. We cover very
seamless. Yeah.
But the show does change. Part of the it's an unscripted show. Like I said, it's generated by the ensemble, and i.e., we don't work from a script from the word go. So as the show progresses over a 2-year lifespan, typically, it slowly develops in different different ways. The music develops, the ensemble develops, and works together a lot tighter, a lot more tightly. And bits and pieces that mightn't be working so well sort of slowly get ironed out. Mm-hmm. And you end up with a very slick, and like Anya was saying, the ensemble work is great fun, because you can improvise a little bit between performer and musician, and between ourselves, and the audience appreciates that. It's very obvious when there's an interplay. We're not just going through a set bunch of steps. We're sort of going, we're having a good time with this one.
All right, and we're talking about three members of Circus Oz who are going to be performing at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7, Saturday night at 7, and then a Saturday matinee at 1:00. The Saturday show is going to be a shorter one. It's about a 60-minute show. The other two about a couple hours.
So 2 hours.
With an interval.
With an interval. Or intermission, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
As we say here. Yeah, right. And we have with us Carl Polke, who is a musician, performer, and musical director for the production. Beck Matthews is both musician and performer. She's on drums and other things. She's got a siren poised at her mouth. I feel like I should run from the room very quickly. And then Anya Reynolds, also musician performer. She's got a baritone sax in her hands. Carl has a soprano sax, and they're ready to do us a little something live. What act goes with this?
This is Hazel's Ring Juggle. It's a juggling routine that one of our performers, Hazel Bock, performs. Rings are, well, they're like frisbee-sized rings, and she juggles, I think, up to 7 of them. This is a little piece that we play, and if she does it, well, she's going to do it perfectly this time. We won't have to cover for anything.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
We'll be right back.
There you have it. So imagine rings flying around, and Beck, you were sort of looking up at the sky a few times. It's sort of your habit of looking up to see what she's doing.
You're exactly right, but also a little bit managing my rogue siren whistle.
Yeah, I saw you trying to warm it up a little bit.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Looking a little frustrated. It seemed to have come out at the right time, as far as I can tell. Beck Matthews on snare drum and the siren. Anya Reynolds on the baritone sax and Carl Polke on the soprano sax. I'm looking at the bios for all of you, and you've got a really interesting set of experiences that seem to be kind of heavy on circus and other presumably kids-oriented sorts of things. Is that just because that's what they happen to stick in these bios, or is that fair representation?
I'm not sure of the other guy's bios.
Actually, yours is kind of interesting because it says here, refers to Carl's sweetly distilled synthesis of intellect and intuition.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, you must have written that.
Right? I sure did. our backgrounds are varied. I mean, we're musicians first. I've worked as a musician. I joined the circus back in 93 originally. I worked with them from 93 to 98.
This circus,
yeah. That was my first introduction to circus, in fact. And from there, freelanced, did more theatrical, worked in theatre and physical theatre and did sound design and composition for that sort of area. And for about 12 years and rejoined the circus about 3 years ago.
And Beck, you've got a lot of theatre work in your background, looks like.
Yeah, I was, I've worked with the Women's Circus, which is a community circus in Melbourne.
A community circus?
Yeah. So
that sounds dangerous.
No, it's great. There's actually, circus has a, well, at least in Australia, there's a lot of sort of social justice and social kind of stuff that goes alongside with circus. So there's quite a few, there's youth circuses. And in this case, the Women's Circus was set up originally for women who were survivors, but now it's, for any woman to come and join. So I've worked with them and various theatre groups. I was also teaching for a while, which I guess that's my involvement with kids stuff. I'd say a lot of the theatre work that I've done has been definitely not for kids. But
different kinds of bands and orchestras as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've actually was trained to be an orchestral percussionist, so I've done a bit of that stuff as well.
Trying to be.
Trained, sorry.
Or trained
but yeah, maybe
to
trying.
Be. Sorry,
trying
sorry.
To. It's always trying.
Language barrier, yeah. And Anya, I assume you wrote your bio for this as well, because it makes reference to places you have performed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read here, if that's okay. On a paddle steamer, in a bumblebee suit, at an Olympic opening ceremony, and at a wizards convention.
Yeah.
All of those have stories.
Oh, yeah. Probably, I think the band that I played with that with which I've had the most interesting gigs, aside from Circus Oz, because, man, this has been a complete adventure, but I played in a busking sort of, we call it a gypsy band, and by that I mean we would play a lot of klezmer music and sort of Eastern European music, but also a lot of Latin things. Because we played on the street a lot, that kind of got us a lot of work. And we would find, because the band was fairly eclectic collection of musicians and personalities, we got booked. We played at everything from quite a highfalutin fashion show one time. And the only reason we played at that was because Gypsy Chic was in that summer. And so they got us. But, yeah, we played at a wedding on a paddle steamer on the Murray River in Australia. And we got booked to be the house band for the Australian National Wiccan Convention, that being the Wizards Convention. So spent a weekend doing that. And apart from sort of various other festivals, we played at launches of buildings and crazy parties. Just trying to think of some other... Well, we sort of played in the loft at the top of a church one time. We were not supposed to be up there and probably could have fallen to the floor at any given moment.
So sort of like the circus.
Yeah, pretty much. It was playing in that band was a really great sort of grounding for coming to Circus Oz, actually, because it was sort of all a bit raucous but very lively. And,
Are most of the performers in Circus Oz from Oz, as it were?
Yeah, it's an Australian circus based in Melbourne, and we get Australians to do it.
Well, I mean, because, you know, any other circus around the world could draw them from everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know if it works that way or not.
No, not circus size. It's very much an organisation that has... The brief history of Circus Oz, it began, it was an amalgamation of two circuses in the late 70s, I think 77, 76, Soapbox Circus and New Circus, and they came together, and they were, that period of time was a little bit, Australia being a little bit behind America in its, just in its social times. Anyway, it was a time of social change, you know, the 60s had happened, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, these circuses, these people were very politically active, quite left of centre, and you know, they came together and formed Circus Oz or Circus Australia and began performing all over the places, from factories to the festivals. And it was very groundbreaking at the time, A, to have a circus where there was no animals, and B, to have political comment and comedy and all that kind of stuff going along, using circus as a vehicle to sort of present ideas and stuff and thoughts. And it's sort of progressed from there until these days. There's about, 50? Yeah, 50 people working in the organisation back home, between us and us and them, although I should know. but it's always been an Australian circus. There's no need to employ... It doesn't employ people purely to put on a show. It employs people to be Circus Oz.
And if, I suppose if it were a circus with animals, you'd have to have different kind of animals if you're
kangaroos.
Coming from Australia, yeah.
We have them.
They're just
suits. Oh, yeah.
So it's not completely devoid of animals, or at least animal-like creatures hopping around the stage.
That's true.
We have members of Circus Oz here with us on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus for shows tomorrow night at 7, Saturday at 7. Those are the full shows. And then a shortened 60-minute show instead of the full 2 hours. Saturday at 1 o'clock. So I suppose if you've got kids who are going to be really, really fidgety and won't make it through the whole hour, the whole 2 hours, that's the one to take it to. And I know it says here, recommended for ages 5 and up. What happens in the circus that might not be good for 4-year-olds?
I think it's just the nature of the loudness. Loud, a lot of movement, colour, and you know, it's kind of, it's not overly loud, but it's, if you've got a fidgety 3-year-old, they're probably going to be a little bit intimidated, maybe. It's like a very huge television.
Yeah.
Well, and I assume that there could be a certain amount of fear of somebody else is falling or you know, somebody really hurting themselves.
Funnily enough, I had a nephew who at 2 was fine with it, but at 3 was old enough to understand that it was actually dangerous, and he struggled more at 3 than when he was 2.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So much for the terrible 2s.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, we got another tune here that is, I guess, was in a previous show, but you guys were all in the band here. I just got it. It was called Gorilla's Teeterboard or something
That classic.
So that's an animal.
What goes on? Gorillas were harmed in the making of that tune.
What was this act going on that this music accompanied?
That was the first year that we all started playing in the band together, and the teeterboard is like a giant seesaw, and it's actually quite a spectacular...
Teeter totter.
Quite a spectacular piece of apparatus, and the acrobats bounce off it and do amazing tricks. And it's also a rather dangerous piece of apparatus. So that's sort of the one where you, when that's going on, you've got to sort of be focused and such. But the teeter board was combined with, an acro balance act that happened beforehand. So we had two pieces of music that we combined. And the first one, just as code for ourselves to know which parts of the form we were talking about, ended up being called Gorillas, because the bass line may have sounded or been inspired by a Gorillas song. And Teeter Board was the next part of the act that the other bit of music came from.
So we often... In making the music, there's a lot of bits to it. We often have our own little code names for bits and pieces. That act had the Hendrix bit,
that's
the monster bit, this bit, the other bit, and you're sort of calling them so we know. Because quite often, the nature of circus is it will change on a nightly basis. Yeah, someone might sprain an ankle, and all of a sudden they can't do a certain number of tricks. So you've got to rearrange what's going on, which means a rearrangement of the music, because we do try and match it very tightly to the action. And teeterboards are really hardcore for doing that. So we'd have, you know, maybe 20 little bits that we'd have to sort of put in different. It's like throwing cards into a hat and seeing what the order comes out with. You'd sort of go through the order going, okay, how are we going to get from this bit to this bit? We'll use this bit.
Well, let's give a listen to how at least it sounded on one day.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty much
the day it was recorded. Yeah. Here from Circus Oz on Live and Local. Musicians of Circus Oz, who are going to be at the Krannert Center this weekend. For more information, go to krannertcenter.com, they have a link on that site to Circus Oz's website. I want to say thanks to Beck Matthews, Carl Polke, and Anya Reynolds of Circus Oz for coming in and playing for us. Thank you all very much for coming in. Looking forward to the show on Friday night.
Great. Thanks for having
us. Thanks so much for having us.
And our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Beckman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology Open House, Friday, March 8th and Saturday, March 9th on the U of I campus. Exhibits highlight the work at one of the nation's leading interdisciplinary research centers. A few things you can see and hear live in our listening area tonight. The Yonder Mountain String Band will be at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight at 7:30. Studio Dance 1 at the Krannert Center tonight at 7 and 9 from the University of Illinois. Jack and the Beanstalk is being put on by University Laboratory High School in Urbana, 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, and then matinees on Saturday and Sunday as well. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'll be back tomorrow with another show at 4 o'clock here on FM 90.9.